Today's shir is for Zchus, for Refuah Shleimah, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Kuf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, as we know, we've discussed many times, Midraisa, a father could marry off a daughter, and the Kedushin are a Kedusha Deraisa. If a girl doesn't have a father, in order that the girl should be able to live a normal life, and that her parents, and that she should not be left without any supervision, since girls in those days did typically get married very young. The halacha was that the Chazal instituted Kedusha Derabbanan. And what Kedusha Derabbanan is, that the mother of the girl marry off. But that since it's only Kedusha Derabbanan, this girl, until she becomes a Gedolah, could do Miyun. And what Miyun is that she could just walk out of the marriage, annul the marriage. So says the Mishnah Menes, a woman who was Meman doesn't need a get, she just walks out of the marriage, or a Shnia. There are certain women that marriage is Asa Medrabbanan, or her Ha'ailness is a woman who is unable to have children. All of these women, Elan Ksuba, when their marriage ends, they're not entitled to a Ksuba, V'loy Peris, and the Halacha, or Peris of Nichsi Melug, that as we've discussed so many times, Chazal instituted that the Nichsi Melug of the wife, who brings Nichsi Melug into the marriage, that the Halacha is that the husband eats the peiris, and that was done in exchange that if chas v'sholem, this woman were to be kidnapped, the husband would have the obligation of ransoming her. That halacha doesn't apply by these women. V'loy mezoinus, the halacha that a husband has to support his wife, belois. There are many different pshatim how to learn this line in the Mishnah of what is meant when the Mishnah says v'loy belos, that they're not intended, they're not supposed to get belos. The simple pshat is that the wife brought into the marriage garments, and those garments are nichsei tzoyin barzel. The halacha of nichsei tzoyin barzel is that they're evaluated at the time of the marriage, what they're worth, and when the marriage ends, whether they went up in value, whether they went down in value, that amount is the amount that's the wife is entitled to. The balos are leftover clothing, and the gemara and the halacha balos doesn't apply by a man who's married to one of these women. So, to review these reasons, these halachas and why, the mamanis is not entitled to ksuba. Because a ksuba is when the husband divorces her. He didn't divorce her. She walked out. That's why she doesn't have the ksuba, nor all the tanai ksuba that come along with a ksuba. The reason she doesn't get the peiris is, again, we're talking about a case, explained the Rishonim, that she borrowed money. She was kidnapped. She borrowed money and she to redeem herself. And then she did miyun. The husband does not have to pay back the individual from whom she borrowed the money. When we say she doesn't have mezoinus, that of course, as long as they are married, he has to support her. The halacha is that if he goes to Medina Sayyam, and we've learned the wife has a right to borrow money against the husband's obligation to support her, and then she does miyun, the halacha is that the husband will not have to pay back to the people from whom she borrowed money. What that she does not belos will be spoken about more in the Gemara. The Kshniya that we discussed doesn't have a ksuba, because as we mentioned, this whole marriage is a marriage that should not have taken place. The woman, and therefore she's not entitled to a ksuba. The doesn't get payers, that means that the husband doesn't have to ransom her. A marriage that we don't want to see happening, so certainly there's no obligation. Chazal didn't obligate the husband to ransom her. And Paris, we said, travel together with that. She doesn't get mezainis. Again, because it's a marriage that we don't want to see happen. And since it's a marriage we don't want to see happen, that's why the husband is not obligated to support her. An ailness is considered a marriage that's a mekach tos, because he didn't know she's an ailness. And if he would have known she's an ailness, he certainly would have never married her. Why is he not get Paris? Since he now discovered she's an ailness, and this marriage in his mind is going to be declared as a mekach tos, so that's why he doesn't have to redeem her if she's kidnapped, and that's why he's not entitled to Paris. Why doesn't she get mezainis? Means that till they're married and he discovers that she's an islandess, of course he has to support her. But let's say he became aware that she is an islandess. So at the point that he becomes aware that she's an islandess and decides not to remain married with her, from that point forward, he doesn't have to support her. Furthermore, a case that we mentioned a moment ago, if he traveled overseas and borrowed, and she borrowed money based on the fact that she is based on the fact that her husband has to support her, and then he comes back, but by the time he comes back, he discovers that she is an islandess, so then the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay back the people from whom she borrowed money. However, says the Mishnah, im mitchila nusel l'shem ailness, but if when they got married, the halacha that he knew that she was an ailness, im mitchila nusel l'shem ailness, then of course yesh l'ksuba, because he knew what he was getting into. Continues the Mishnah, but there are certain times where the isser of getting married is actually an isser d'raisa, aman al kain gadol, grush v'chalutz l'kain hedyit, mamzeres v'nasin l'yisrael. All of these are situations where the marriage is an issa deraisa, bas yisrael and nasal mamzer, and all these cases, yesh lo ksumim. He is entitled to ksuba. And the Gemara, Masechet Yevamos, that pei hei aman alek, gives two explanations. The Gemara says when the issa of this marriage is an issa deraisa, so the Chazal did not have to make any special knas, because as we often discuss, divrei Torah, something which is a deraisa, ain't a tzrich and chizik, has its own strength. And therefore, the fact that they weren't going to get married with the Raisa, we don't need to institute any knas as a deterrent. Another explanation the Gemara offers there, an almana by marrying someone she wasn't supposed to marry, almana marrying a kohen gadol, a grusha chalutza marrying a kohen hedyot, become permanently disqualified from marrying kohanim with the Raisa, and also their children that are born from such a marriage are a cholol who may not eat truma. So a wife will never convince her husband to get married with such a marriage where she knows the repercussions of this marriage. The reason why in our Mishnah explains the Gemara over there, Chazal made these knas, is that because Chazal wanted to make that she shouldn't want to marry this husband. We need not do that in these cases, because she loses so much in getting married in the cases of an issa deraisa. Whereas in the cases of our Mishnah, where it isn't an issa deraisa, and because it isn't this an issa deraisa, she doesn't have that much to lose. That's why in our Mishnah, says the Gemara Masechet Yevamos, Chazal had instituted knas. Whereas over there, Chazal did not, in those cases, with the Raisa, Chazal did not have to institute a knas. So our Mishnah says that if somebody marries an islandess, he doesn't have to pay a ksuba, because he could claim it's a mekach tos. Now the question that comes up is, could such a woman get remarried? Can an islandess, where a husband is claiming that the marriage was a mekach tos, get remarried without a get? The Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis on Beis says that if a man performs kedusha with a woman, with tanai on condition that she doesn't have any mumen, and then she's to cover to have mumen, the kedusha is void. Rashi on daf ayin gimel on the base says that if the kedusha was performed without any stipulations, and the woman is discovered to have mumen, we have a suffix whether the kedusha is valid. In other words, it's not quite sure is the kedusha considered a mekach tos, because we can't be sure would most people not agree to remain married to such a woman under all situations. And since we can't be 100% sure, says Rashi, because of there's a rule of Sofik Isura, when there's a question, is she or isn't she an Eishes Ish, we have to go L'chumra and give her a get. On the other hand, she wouldn't be entitled to Ksuba, because there is a rule Sofik Memoin L'kula, HaMoitzi M'chaveira Olav Araya, and he could claim, I was never agreeable to this Kedushin. Tysus over there, however, says that an islandess, the inability to have children, is worse than any other mum. And therefore, if a woman is discovered to be an illness, we could be sure that the kedushin is a mekach tos, and there's no need for a get whether a stipulation was said or not. And so too is the psak of the Ran, that any marriage with an illness is considered a mekach tos, and the marriage is dissolved without a get. The Rambam, however, writes that the kedushin with an illness is a kedushin gemurim. And therefore, says the Shvus Yaakov, explained the Rambam, that the Rambam, contrary to Tosfos, holds that an external blemish is much more of an issue than not being able to have children. Especially in those days, explains the Shvus Yaakov, where you can marry a second wife and have children with the other wife. Says the Shvus Yaakov, an explanation of the Rambam, that somebody who married a woman who turns out to be an illness, certainly, if he wants to dissolve the marriage, you have to give a get. The Shaar Malach asks, when we speak about an illness, and we're speaking about a woman with mumen, he says that one of the characteristics of an illness is that she has a voice like a man. So why is that not considered a blemish? So according to Tosfos, asks the Shaar Malach, that an external blemish is worse than an illness. But every illness has an external blemish. Says the Noida Behuda that indeed somebody who marries an illness, he could void the Kedushin saying if it's a Mekach Tos, only if he was a Ketana. Because then the signs of an illness were not noticeable. But says the Noida Behuda, if somebody marries a Gedoyla and then it turns out that she's an illness, says the Noida Behuda, he can never claim it's a Mekach Tos, because the illness that we speak about in Shas is a noticeable illness. So he should have taken note that this woman has these issues, and that's why he can't claim, according to Nadi Behuda, that it's a mekach tos. There's a machloikas amaroim, when we spoke about at the beginning of our shir, when we had a ketana that got married off by a mother or brothers, is that Kedushin considered a full-fledged Kedushin, just the Rabbanon? Or are they not considered a Nesu'in with her at all? You can't do Nesu'in, according to those opinions, with a Ketana. The only halacha is that they live together as husband and wife, but there's really no Nesu'in. There's a beautiful vart from the Rebbe Reb Heschel. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avimelech, Vata Toshev Eishes Ish Kinovihu. So the question, of course, he asks is, why is the fact that he was a Navi relevant to the fact that Avimelech wasn't allowed to be with an Eishes Ish? That he's not allowed to be with Sarah Avram's wife? Says the Rebbe Reb Heschel, Avimelech claimed that Sarah was an islandess, and therefore, her Kedusha with Avram Avinu, as we just discussed, wasn't a valid Kedushin. If the Kedushin wasn't a valid Kedushin, so then she's not an Eishes Ish, and Avimelech would have turned out not to have done anything wrong. Says the Pasuk, Ki Navihu. Avram was a Navi. So he certainly knew that Sarah was an islandess. And he still married her. It must be, like Amishta says, if somebody marries a woman knowing that she's an islandess, the marriage is a marriage. Rav, says the Gemara, says, Rav, in understanding the Mishnah, when we spoke about a mamenis, says, did not have the girsa like we had of a mamenis and like suba, but rather his girsa was ketana yoytsu beget and like suba. That she doesn't get a ksuba, a ketana doesn't get a ksuba, for koshke mamenis. Because he holds that certainly that's not considered a nesuin where a ksuba is in order. Shmuel taught him mamenis and like suba, avil yoytsu beget, if it's a ketana that's getting a divorce, yesh the ksuba. Says Marvaza Shmuel Tamei. Shmuel's following his opinion. Dami Shmuel, Mamenis ain't like Suba. If a girl walks out of the marriage, she doesn't get a Ksuba. But Yoich Beget, Yesh like Suba. Hamamenis, furthermore, like Possuman Alchim. We know that once someone marries a man, she becomes permanently usher to his brothers, unless in the setting of Yibam. Says the Gemara, but that isn't the case by Mamenis, because the Halacha doesn't view it as if they were married. Like Pasta Menekuna, she's not considered a grusha that becomes disqualified to marry a kohen. Yoitza beget, but if somebody got married as a ketana and her husband divorced her, Pasta Menachem, she becomes disqualified to marry the brothers. This Eshesach is there. Or Pasta Menekuna, she's considered a grusha that may never marry a kohen. Memenis ain't shrichim lahem to shloshe chadoshim. The halach is there's a din of hafchana that a woman, after her marriage ends, may not get married for 3 months. Because we need to be certain if she's pregnant and then she has a child, who is truly the father? The first husband or the second husband? And by waiting these 3 months, we accomplish that. Because if she's not pregnant by 3 months, it'll be noticeable that she's not pregnant. And therefore, since it'll be noticeable that she's not pregnant, she won't have an issue. There wouldn't be an issue. We know it's from the second husband. And if she's noticeably pregnant, she's pregnant from the first husband. Now, even though we're talking here about a ketana, and a ketana can't get pregnant, but there's a rule, loy plug. Chazal said all women may not get married for three months after their marriage ends, no matter what their personal specific situation is. But Mamenis is not considered married. So since, as we're learning now, a Mamenis is not considered married, the three-month rule of Avchana, says the Gemara, doesn't apply. A Yoitza Beget, but if you have a woman who got married and had a get, even though she's a Ketana, and as we just said, so she's certainly not pregnant, it doesn't make a difference. She can't get married for 3 months. Says the Gemara, my Kamashman, says the Gemara, that everything Shmuel just taught us, we already learned. The din that Shmuel said, Tanina Kula, the halach we just learned in our Mishnah, the Mamenis and like Suba, Tanina Kula, and the other halachas as well, Hamamenis Bish, the Mishnah says, Masech the Yivam is Staf Kuf Ches Oman Aleph, Hamamenis Bish, if a woman does mean, who matabakrev is sav, he matabakrev. Each may marry their relatives because they're not considered having ever been married. Vilaypasmakuna, and she's not considered a grusha that's disqualified to marry Koyim. However, continues the Mishnah teaches there, Nosn Laget, if she didn't do Miyun, even though she could have done Miyun, but Miyun wasn't performed, then, and the husband gave her a get, then the halach is who also b'krayv asal, the yisur b'krayv off, or pasul menakuna. So what did Shmuel teach me that isn't in that Mishnah? Answers, the Gemara, the last thing that we explained, the halach of havchana, tzrich laham to shlosh chadosh itzruch lei, that halach of the loitanan that wasn't taught in the Mishnah is what Shmuel needed to teach us. Says the Gemara, this machloikis, the Gemara wants to suggest the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel, v'leim mekatanoi. Rabbi Lez Oimer, that the nesuin with a ketana who is married off by a mother or brothers is not considered a nesuin at all. Even though we learned that a husband is entitled to what a wife finds, that doesn't apply by such a kedushin. He's not entitled to a mitziah. He's not entitled to earnings that Leib Mas Yadel, Leib Afaras Nadarel. The halacha is that a girl who makes Nadarim from when she's 11 years old, if she is mentally capable, the halacha is that the neder is considered a valid neder. And normally, a husband has a right to be made for the Nadarim of his wife. Not in this case. Any Yarshop, when she dies, he doesn't Yashinov, Emetamelov, he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to become Tamei, because the Kohen is only allowed to become Tamei to relatives. She's not considered his wife. Klol Shadova, any Ke'ishta L'Chaldova, she's really not considered a wife. El Shetrichimin Bamin is required. Rishua, on the other hand, says, Mais Ketana Klum, we do consider the acts of a Ketana. And that's why Baal of Zakir, Mitzuyosu, Mas Yodeva, Feras, Nadarea, V'yarsha, Betamala. Klal Shadova, Harei, Hikishta L'Chaldova, the Alokha views them as of completely married. There's one rule, Shiyotz Bamin, that she has to have miyun. So I saw Rabbi Yosha points out that we learned Ein Baal Zakim Mitziyosu Le Mas Yodeo. So Rabbi Yosha asks if the husband in this case, he's not entitled to her salary, but does he have to support her? Because we usually learn that these two things travel together. He supports her, and she has to turn over a salary. Says Rabbi Yoshev, the interesting psak, that he says it's a Rashi. He says that the halach is that even though he's not entitled to her salary, according to Rabbi Lezer, he still has to support her. So I suggest to Gemara Rav that it says that a ketana doesn't get a ksuba, follows the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, that doesn't give any validity to the nesun of a ketana. The Shmuel that says that if there's a get given to a ketana, she isn't entitled to ksuba, holds like Rabbi Shua. Says the Gemara, leave the Rabbi Lezer kula amale pligi. According to Rabbi Lezer, Shmuel will say that I have to agree that according to Rabbi Lezer, the way he states his opinion, the act the nesun of a ketana are meaningless, and therefore she's not entitled to ksuba, even if the marriage is dissolved through a get. And even though Rabbi Lezer didn't say that explicitly, the halach is obvious. If the husband is not entitled to any of the privileges that we've been learning in our Masechta that a husband is normally entitled to, certainly he doesn't have to pay out a ksuba. And Rabbi Lez is going to obviously hold that the marriage of Ketana is not really considered a marriage. It's just a marriage that, as we said earlier in our Shia, Shla Yenig Ba Menik Hefker. But says the Gemara, Ki Pligi, where is the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel applicable? I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel. So Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shua that the marriage of a Ketana is considered a marriage. Rav, Atkan Lekom Rabbi Shua Hosom El Medida L'Didei, what she has to give him. Avil Medidei L'Didei, what a husband has to give a wife. Rav will say that's not what Rabbi Shua spoke about, and Rav will hold that she's entitled to what she is, what every wife is entitled to. We learned in the Mishnah that the Mamenis, the Shni, and the Ailness are not entitled to B'loz. And as we said, we're going to explain what that means. Amalei Rafuna Bachila Rafgana. Amalei Mishmei the Shmuel. Loi Shanu, that she doesn't get back those worn-out garments. Ela Nechsim Melug. If she brought in those garments, which were Nechsim Melug, the halacha is that the husband is only entitled to Paris of the Nechsim Melug. And the begadim, wearing the clothing, is not considered peiris. Wearing the begadim is considered deteriorating the keren, because as you wear the clothing, you ruin them. Ava nechseh tzoyim bazel. But if the clothing were brought in as nechseh tzoyim bazel, which we explained in the Mishnah means that we assess their value, and when the marriage, and he keeps them, and at the end of the marriage, he has to give the wife the value that we assessed, isla, the halacha is that she gets those clothing. Says the Gemara, hi, Havibay, Rapapa, hi. Which of these women do we learn that there's a difference between if they're Nechsi Melug or Nechsi Tzoyim Bazel? Ilema, a Mamenis, if we're speaking about the case of a Mamenis, so either Isnu, if these clothing are still extant, then the halacha is she should get them back. Shakla, because the whole marriage by Miun never happened. Vidalesna, and if the clothing aren't there anymore, Loi Shakla, she's not entitled because there's nothing to receive. Ella says the Gemara is going by the illness. So again, Ida Isna, if they're still here, Idi Vishakla, she should get them. Because as we explained earlier in our shir, if it turns out that she's an illness, it turns out that the entire marriage was a Mekach Tos. If the marriage was a Mekach Tos, so nothing ever belonged to him. Idi Listen, if they're not here, Ipcha Mibayle, then the halach is that if we're going to differentiate, ask the Gemara, between Nichsim Malug and Nichsim Bar Basil, Nichsim Malug, the Rishus Kaima, that they're hers, and he should have never warned them, Isla, she should get them back. Nichsim Tzoyim Basil, the Lab Rishus Kaima, because they were his, Lesla, she shouldn't get it back, says the Gemara. Ella Ashnia, we're talking about the Nichsim, the Godim, the clothing that were brought in by a marriage with Ashnia. The Kansur Abana L'Dor B'Didei, and Chacham said that the woman should not get anything from him, not the ksuba, not the mezainis, not the belos, or the day b'dido, because things that she brought in, we pay her punished, she won't get them back. And whatever l'didei, what he was supposed to get, he doesn't keep. And therefore the belos of the Nechsei Basel, which she should have been allowed to keep, since this is a marriage that shouldn't have happened, they give it back to her. The Nechsei Malug, which are hers, he keeps. Amar Rav Simi Barashi, Shmamin Amar Rav Kahana, this that Rav Kahana explained, that by a Shnia, she doesn't get the Nechsei Malug, the belos of the clothing of Nechsei Malug. From here we learn that if the marriage was a valid marriage, the marriage was a marriage with the husband and wife were allowed to marry to each other. Ailala Glima, a woman who brought a garment into the marriage as Nichsim Malug, Karna Hava, it's considered Karen, it's not considered Peros, and therefore like Machslev Azad the Bali. And therefore the halach is that the husband may not wear those clothing until they get ruined. The husband's not entitled to those clothing. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Vamar Rav Nachman taught us that a Perehaver, wearing the begodim, are considered Peres. And if they're Nichsim Malug, the husband may wear them. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Pligi. The Rav Nachman certainly disagrees with Rav Kahana. And Rav Kahana says that wearing the Nichsim Malug is considered using up the Keren, which the husband is not entitled to. And Rav Nachman holds it's considered Peiris, which the husband is entitled to. We learned in the Mishnah, Ein le ksuba. A mamenes hashniyah and analysts don't get a ksuba. Am Shmuel, to which Shmuel comments, Lo shana ela mana masayim. She's not entitled to the basic ksuba. Avot Tosfos, if the husband gave more than he was obligated to, that's a gift, and he says Yeshlam. Tanya Lamihachi says the Gemara Braisa, Nosha Shomru Chachomim. They don't get the money Masayim, Avotaisvus Yeshlahan. Noshim Shamar Kacham and Yoitz Shalabi Ksuba, the women that Chazal say don't get a Ksuba. Kigan Averis Aldas, we spoke about this earlier, that she gives her husband non kosher foods. For Chavrasel, other such cases, a woman who makes Nadorim, a woman who curses her husband's parents in front of him. In those cases, the Mishnah used the word Yoitzis Shalayim Loi B'Ksuba, a much stronger wording. Such women, Elam Taisvis, they're not entitled to Kaisvis, and certainly the Koshgain, they're not entitled to the basic Suba Mana Masayim. The Yoitzim Shem Ra, and if a woman goes out because there's a rumor that she did something immoral, Noitlis Mashla for now, Yoitzu, any Nichsim Malug that still remains, she's entitled to take. Says the Gemara, Mesailei Rav Huna, this list halacha is supported by what Rav Huna taught us. The Amar Rav Huna Zinsa, if a woman, there's a rumor that she had an adulterous relationship and her husband's divorcing her, Lev Sida, Blase Kayomim, she's still entitled to the Nichsim Malug. Says the Gemara, Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. Zimtza, if a woman, here we learned in a Braisa, if a woman was Zimtza, Hifsida Belaseya Kiyamim, said she loses the Nichsim Malug. Says the Gemara, Amalei, So Rav Nachman said to this, in his sense, if she did something immoral, Kalam Mizaina, why are she punished with her garments? Tani, and therefore he learned, Loiv Sida Belasa Kayamim. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Babachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we don't have to amend the Braisa. Divrei Rav Nachman Sassar, the Halacha, this Braisa is following the opinion of Rav Nachman, that in many Braisas and Mishnayas, his opinion is stated stam, without mentioning his name. So we have here a question, what is the halach? We have a machlaikus. Says the, we learned further in the Mishnah, if when the husband married the wife, he knew that she's an illness, then the halach is, she's entitled to what every wife is entitled to. Or if when an illness, isha, sometimes an illness is treated fully like a wife, and sometimes ain't isha. A mother, if a kohen gadol marries an almana, isha gemur, she's considered full-fledged wife. And the Gemara explains this. Ailness, isha v'ena isha. Hikaba, if he knew before they got married that she's an ailness, yesh la ksuba, she's entitled to ksuba. Loi hikaba, if he wasn't aware that she's an ailness, ain la ksuba. That's considered a mekachtos, and she's not entitled to ksuba. Almana that married kohen gadol, isha gemur, she's considered like a full-fledged wife. And therefore, the halacha is bein hikabah, bein lo hikabah, whether he was aware that she's almana or not, yesh la ksuba, she's entitled to the ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achazu v'achazu, both an illness and almana, isha v'en isha. She's somewhat like a wife and sometimes not. Hikabah, if he knew what he was getting into, yesh la ksuba, lo hikabah, if he didn't know he was getting into, ein la ksuba. Meisvei asked the Gemara that Rav Huna said that almana, whether the kohen gadol husband was aware that she's an almana, or whether he was not aware she's an almana, in all circumstances he's entitled to the ksuba. She's entitled to the ksuba. Ask the Gemara. The Braisa says, if he married her knowing that she's an almana, the nimtza she came and she indeed is an almana, yesh the ksuba. So doesn't this Braisa say hastama, where he didn't know if she's an almana, and he married her assuming that she's not an almana, and then it turns out that she is an almana, ain't like ksuba. Says the Gemara, loy. And you're saying that she always gets the ksuba. Says the Gemara, to defend Rav Huna, loy tema hostama ain't like ksuba, that if they marry without knowing, and then it turns out she's an almana, she doesn't get a ksuba. Aleima, rather, the way to understand, he says, kansa b'cheska shena came. She fooled him. She told him that she was never an almana, and then it turns out that she is an almana, for nimtza she came, then ain lo ksuba. But as long as she didn't lie, avastam amai, what are we learning now? That if he didn't lie, he thought she's not an almana, but she actually is, isla, then she will be getting ksuba. So ask the Gemara if that's what the Braisa is teaching us, which is the opinion of Rav Huna. So ask the Gemara, adatani, instead of teaching us a halacha, b'cheska she came, he married her, knowing that she's almana. And that is indeed what she is. The nimtza she came. The halach is yesh le ksuba, that she gets a ksuba. Leshmin and Tzibashi should have told us a bigger chiddush. That if he married her without knowing, she's still going to get a ksuba. And certainly, koshken her, where he knows what she is. Void, Tani, asked the Gemara, there's another braisa that says, Kansa b'yidu, when he married her knowing she's an almana, v'nintzis b'yidu, when she's an almana, yesh l'ksuba. But the Braisa here says clearly, Kansa stam, where he married her not knowing, and then turns out that she's an almana, ain't l'ksuba. Clearly, to Yufta Rav Huna, Rav Huna's opinion is refuted. But ask the Gemara, so if we have an explicit Braisa that tells us this, where did Rav Huna go wrong? Ask the Gemara, Rav Huna metnisna tenesei. The Mishnah caused him to make the mistake. Because our Mishnah says that ailness, if he knew she's an ailness, she gets a ksuba. But our monokain godl, the Mishnah didn't say that only if he knew does she get a ksuba. So Rav Huna made the assumption, who saw the midakar mafik by ailness? The fact that the Mishnah made this distinction by ailness, did he know that she's an illness? Did he not know she's an illness? By Amana, the Mishnah did not say this distinction. For loy kamaflik ba'almana, bachal, obviously, Rav Huna thought the Mishnah is teaching us a filu b'stama, even if he didn't know, nami is so she's going to get a ksibba. For loy he, says the Marakitan almana, I plucked the dialness koi. The Mishnah mentioned this fact by Ionis. And the reason the Mishnah didn't mention it again by Almona, because it didn't need to tell us that Isser, that distinction, because we could rely on what it said already by the Ionis. Interesting Shaila that the Paiskim discuss. Here we're talking about, did you know what her status was? Did you not know what her status was? What is the halacha if somebody marries a woman and he knew she's a mamzeris? There was no, she told him, but he doesn't know that you're not allowed to marry a mamzeris. So is she entitled to the ksuba or not? Could he claim, I knew she's a mamzeris, but I didn't know that I'm not allowed to marry a mamzeris? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, there's a difference between what type of issa we're talking about. If somebody marries a woman that the Isser to marry her is explicit in the Torah, like a Mamzeris, such a case, the husband cannot claim, where I didn't know that you're not allowed to marry a Mamzeris. A person is expected to know what the Torah teaches us. But in a case where it's not explicit in the Torah, it's only something that we learn through one of the drushes of Chazal, in such a case, he can't say, well, he could claim, well, I didn't know that halacha, and even though I know that the woman has this deficiency, he still could claim, I didn't know that this was an issur. Says the Mishnah, Noisus Isha. If somebody marries a woman, or Paski Imai, he made up with her Kadeshi Yazin as Bita Chamashanim, that he's going to support the daughter, for her daughter that she has from a previous marriage for 5 years. So the halacha is, he has to support her. And from when does that begin? From, explain the Rishonim, from the moment of Nisuin. This is Lacher. If she got divorced from this man, now she's marrying a second man, and again she makes this arrangement with a second husband, will support the wife for 5 years. He also has to support, the second husband has to support her for 5 years. Says the Mishnah, the first husband has no right to say, I'll start supporting her when she lives with me. If she's not living with me, because her mother and I are not living together, I'm not obligated to support her. That's not the halacha. But says the Mishnah, rather, he brings the support to wherever her mother is. Similarly, the two husbands can't say, we'll share the expense of supporting her. One should give her the actual food that she needs for support, and the other one should give her the value of the support. Nisus, when the daughter gets married, habal noislam zaynus, but they obligated themselves to support her for 5 years, even if she gets married. So the husband is the one that will support her. Vehei noislam demei zaynus, and these two husbands of her mother have to give her the financial value of the support. Mesu, when these husbands die, but the same zaynus ben nechasim lechayim, daughters are supported from her father's estate. But daughters are only supported from a father's estate from assets that were in the estate when the father died. But these obligations are not considered like the support of a daughter. These obligations are considered like what you're obligated to pay a chayv. And since it's considered like an obligation of a chayv, so a person, a malva, as we often learn in our shiurim, can collect from the chasam and shabadim. And that's why, says the Mishnah, the obligation that the husbands took upon themselves to support the daughters, these wives' daughters, are like a bal chayv. And she's entitled to the chasam and shabadim, then she can bal chayv. Says the Mishnah, Hapichmai Kaisim, the smart husband that agreed to do this with his wife, would write in the ksuba, would write, I'm taking on this obligation, but I'm going to give the support, but only provided kozman shatimi, if we're married. And that if our marriage ends, this obligation ends as well. What's the halacha that if somebody takes upon himself to support someone else, and he did not put a time frame around that obligation, what is the halacha? Is it an obligation forever, or is it only an obligation as long as this person needs to be supported? The Torah and Evan Ezer, Simon Kuf Yudalit, and the Ramah, Simon Chashmish, but Simon Sif Gimel, say that this is a machloikus rishonim. The Shnach and the Sma explain that if somebody took upon himself to support somebody, and at that time, the person they accepted, they took upon themselves to support, needed help, so then it's obvious that the obligation was only undertaken as long as this person needs the help. And therefore, if the person, Baruch Hashem, doesn't need the help anymore, there is no obligation anymore to support him. But if the obligation was taken on when the person didn't need the support, so it's obvious that it wasn't done because a person needs support, because he didn't need the support, and then the halacha is that it's forever. The Taz disagrees with this psak because he says that our Mishnah said, Hanoisis Isha, or Paski Ima Kadesh Yaznas Bita Chamishonim, we just learned you have to support her for 5 years. And the Mishnah says, even though the woman, this girl, got married, the husband still has to keep his obligation, and he has to support, and these men have to keep their obligation. So here we're talking about a girl who got married, and she, Baruch Hashem, has a husband who could support her, and still the obligation is there. So we see that the situation of the person to whom the obligation was made is not a factor in this decision. And the Taz indeed says, Tzorchin, he doesn't understand the Shach. But the Achronim say there's a very big difference. He says, there's a difference when the obligation was left open-ended versus when the obligation was given for a time frame. In our Mishnah, as we just learned the Mishnah, the obligation that these husbands took upon themselves, and maybe that's explicitly why the Mishnah said it that way, is 5 years. So when the obligation is for 5 years, that's an obligation that's there no matter what the situation is, as our Mishnah teaches us. The case that we spoke about, the Machloikus of the Rishonim, the Psak of the Shach, is when it was an open-ended obligation. And therefore, there's a difference. That's why it's different. There's another nafkamina that the Chacham Tzvi suggests. In the case of our Mishnah, we have a case where a husband and wife got married. And this husband and wife who got married, so they're making arrangements. What am I bringing into the marriage? What are you bringing into the marriage? And the wife says that I'm bringing into the marriage a daughter who needs to be supported. And I'm giving you whatever a wife gives. Since it's a transactional relationship, that's when you're obligated to keep it no matter if the circumstances change or not. In the case that the Shach discussed, the person saw a person who needs to be supported. He's not getting anything in return. Since he's not getting anything in return, then the Shach says the situation depends. The Chishuki Chemed discusses along these lines, what would be the halacha if a couple gets married and the husband is a Talmud Chacham and the Kala's father is prepared to support the couple in order that the husband should be able to learn. And then Baruch Hashem, the husband, the wife of this couple gets a wonderful position, a very well-paying job. And the question is, does the father start to continue supporting? Or could the father say that I only said I'm going to support because you needed the money? Here,
where Baruch Hashem, you're able to live on the wife's salary, my obligation to support is not required. So the Chishuk in Chemet connects this discussion to the Chacham Tzvi that we just discussed. It depends how the father worded his obligation. If the father worded his obligation totally open-ended, so then maybe if the situation changed, then the obligations change. If the father, however, put a time frame around this, about the amount of years, then the halacha is that he's going to have to fulfill his obligation. Or we can make a different argument. In the case of the support, the father of the girl wants the schus of having a son-in-law, a Talmud Chacham. Since he wants the schus of having a son-in-law, a Talmud Chacham, therefore, even though they, Baruch Hashem, don't need his support, the wife is earning a great parnasa, but he wants to have the schus of his son-in-law's learning, even though his daughter is earning a good salary, and he will have to continue to support. And then there's another interesting shaila. What happens if a father-in-law promised to give the couple a home, buy a house, and the daughter, before he could buy the house, the daughter passed away? Is the father obligated to still fulfill his obligation? This is the subject of very big machlokes rishonim. Rashi and the Rambam and the Rana have all the opinion that since he may obligate himself, he has to keep his obligation. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramah seems to paskin like Rabbeinu Tam that as long as they weren't married a year, if the wife, Rachman Slan, died within the year, first year of the marriage without any children, Rachman Slan, then the halacha is the special takana of Rabbeinu Tam that the father will not have to keep that obligation.